welcome to the podcast. This is Brian P. Alvarez, and I am so excited to have a special guest coming in with us today. First of all, I'm just grateful for everyone that's tuning in this morning and joining into this podcast. Part of this podcast is to inspire others and to bring people together to just motivate you to start your own project. And today, I am so honored to bring in Antonio Reyes. Bro, how are you doing today, dude?
Pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us, bro. We're excited, man. And, you know, I've known Tony for quite some time, actually a few years. And it's crazy to think back on just the conversations that, you know, that we had back when we were working at the Assemblies of God District, man. And, you know, I remember coming to you, bro, and just sharing on the events that we wanted to put together and, you know, asking for your opinion all the time on like what speakers should we bring, you know, what events should we do and all that stuff to make sure we could bring in some kids for the camps and conventions. And, you know, it's crazy, dude, that one thing stood out during this time that, you know, we spent together in that district was that you always talked about doing something big for ministry. You know, yeah. You always talked about this dream, this vision of like impacting, you know, people and all that. And I think it was like 2013 or 2014, man. And yeah. Fast forward to today, you're putting it into practice. You're living that dream and vision. And man, I got to say, bro, I'm like beyond proud of what you're doing and seeing all that you're doing through social media and how you got a team together, dude. And it's insane, bro. So, you know, for the audience, dude, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, what's the ministry you're involved? Like, what is it that you're currently doing in ministry, bro?
Yeah, no, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Honestly, yeah, it's been quite a journey since we have those conversations, you know. We work together. We share a lot of thoughts together. Events, you know, great, beautiful things happen, you know. And I really appreciate you, Brian. Honestly, like, thank you so much for doing something like this, open this kind of space, you know, like podcasts, videos, all this great, beautiful things, you know, that you impact in our generation. And so, my name is Antonio Reyes for the people who don't know me, you know, I'm 28 years old and I married my beautiful wife, Gabby. She's actually working right now, but, she's working, but, so we started this journey. We decided to open a community, a church called Echoes, in the city of Southgate, for the ones who might probably don't know where Southgate is at. You know, it's probably like 15 to 20 minutes away from LA.
It's
a beautiful city. We decided to start this journey 7 months ago, actually. And it's been an amazing journey to this point.
Wow. So you're 28 and you're a pastor and a church planter, right?
Yes, correct.
That's insane, bro. That's like, I don't think I personally know anybody in my circle that's 28 and already a pastor of a church plant, dude. That's insane, dude. And I think you're an inspiration for a lot of kids, dude. There's a lot of people out there that are in Bible school. You know, my wife, you know, works at a small Bible college called LBI College. And there's a bunch of kids there, dude, that just inspire one day to become a pastor, but they're afraid. You know, there's that risk. There's that thought process in their mind. Like, me, a pastor? Nah, there's no way. Like, they just feel like it's impossible. Like, it's something like maybe in the near future when I'm like 40. You know what I mean? But you're 28, bro, and you're doing it. You're making it happen. You have a team, and it's insane, dude. So, bro, how long, like, so you've been doing it for 7 months, correct?
Yes.
And if you don't mind me asking, like, what's a little bit about your testimony? Like, I mean, I met you back in 2013. Yeah. I know you came from LBI College, bro, but share a little bit on that. Like back when you first started LBI, you know, or like what inspired you to even go into the Bible ministry, you know, route and to do this, like share a little bit about your testimony.
Yeah. You know what, Brian, I moved from Mexico when I was 18, 10 years ago. I moved from Mexico to the United States. It was a really hard transition for me. You know, it was a really tough transition for me because it meant that I had to leave behind everything that I knew, language, culture, future, friendships, all those little things that build who you are as a human being. I had to leave them behind and start fresh from scratch. And when I moved to the United States, I never attended to church. I was really never, I never grew up in church. So I was in the popular religion in Mexico, you know, the Catholic religion. But it was like really not something attached to who I was. There was this mystical aspect of who I was that I always believe in God, but never really tap into that aspect of my life. So when I moved to the United States, I remember I found myself in a really dark place because I had to learn a whole new way of living, you know, a new way of living, a new rhythm, a new way of connecting with people, a new language, you know, not just English, you know, not just English, but also my Spanish, because in the United States, it's not only Mexicans, it's all kinds of people, Salvador from Central America, from South America. So I had to learn how to communicate with people. So all that transition really brought me into the really dark place where I had to figure it out. You know, I had to try to figure it out what was next for Antonio, what was next for me. So in that process, I met, which is my best friend to this point, you know, he's from El Salvador, him and his brother. In high school, we met, you know, great people. And I remember them telling me, hey, let's go to church. And I was like, nah, man, that's not for me. I'm like, that's not what I want to tap into. He's like, exactly, oh, no, check this out, man. It's going to be good. It's good music. And I'm like, nah. So we were in school when he asked me. The whole day he was bugging me. Till the end, I told him, look, bro, I'm going to go, but you have to shut up and you're never going to invite me again, okay? I'm down, but to shut up.
Yeah.
Okay? He was like, okay, let's go. I was like, all right, let's go. You pick me up? All right. Okay. So he picked me up. I went to church, bro, that day. And it was not really what impacted me, bro. It was not really about music or the aspect of the church or the style of the church, which was a really nice church.
Right.
There was a lot of young people. But there was this moment, bro, when I found myself in this place where my soul was really anxious and worried and really have no sense of purpose. And I feel that when I went to that place, I feel that the voice of my creator spoke to my soul and said, I got you. You have a purpose. You're worth something to me. And I remember since that day, my life just changed completely, bro. It really was that moment where it was not even, man, I was listening to Oceans, bro, and start bawling, and now, you know, I connected with, you know, it was not even about that. It was the moment and the space that was open for someone like me to connect with my God, my Savior in that moment, you know? So that really shifted my heart. It took a couple months, you know. I never went back after that to, like, I want to say, like, 7-8 months after that. But it was a process. But then the second time I went to a church, bro, that's the moment where I was like, if this is real, I want to pursue it. And if this is real, I want to know. I want to find out on my own. I don't want to pursue the religion that my mom has. I don't want to pursue that what my grandma told me or my aunt told me or what somebody else told me. I want to pursue it my own, and I want to discover it on my own. So that's when I decide, you know, in that process, the group of people from that Bible college called LBI were traveling. They went to my church. I was like, God, I want to do something like that. And then I want to say, 7-8 months later, I jumped into going to a Bible school to learn because I felt that I wanted to prepare myself. I didn't know nothing, bro. Honestly, Brian, I thought that the Bible was in chronology, like an alphabetical order. I'm sorry. I thought it was in alphabetical order. I didn't know where Psalms was. I didn't know where the gospel was. I didn't know none of. I didn't know how to pray, bro. So that's why I decided to jump into Bible school, because I wanted to learn all those disciplines. Yes. I wanted to get into the beauty of the Bible, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of like a couple aspects of my journey.
Wow, man, that's a rough, long journey, man. And I think it's insane, dude, that you came in with the language barrier already, you know? Yeah. And how did you overcome that? Like, how did you, I mean, dude, yeah, like you're I'm talking to you in English, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did you overcome that aspect in Bible school to tackle it all in English, not knowing English?
Oh man, that was really rough. That was really rough because people don't know how many times I cry. People don't know how many times I feel stressed because I will go to classes, bro, and I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Then in the language that they were using, I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And the second one, I'm barely trying to figure out this language, which is English. So it was really rough, you know. And I remember praying to God, and one time when I got out of class, I was like, God, you called me to this place. How is that? I'm hungry to understand and to learn, but I'm not understanding anything. So and I made it a maybe a really bold prayer. I was like, you brought me here, you better teach me how to speak English. So I think that was the beginning of a journey for myself. You know, I had a it, there's something that we have to that I see, bro, and is that we either allow fear and our ego to take the best out of us, or we overcome and rise up above those things, you know. So I think that for me, I had to allow my hunger to learn the language, and to quiet the fear aspect of me saying, man, you don't know how to speak, you don't know how to communicate, you're not saying it right. I would get super nervous when I would speak to someone and they would say, what? Huh? Can you repeat that again? Bro, I would get super nervous because I was like, man, I'm not saying it right. I'm saying something wrong. So I had to allow my fear to put my fear to the side and to raise above all that. And also my ego. You know, I think one of the biggest things is our ego, bro. The ego tells you, you know, you're better than that. No, they have to know your language. They have to understand you. You know, like your ego just sometimes takes the best out of you
It
and
does.
doesn't allow you to grow.
That's
So
so true.
I think that one of the things that I had to push myself and surround myself with people that were helping me, because this was happening, Brian. I had friends that helped me. They would sit down next to me actually in classes, and if I didn't understand something, I would ask them, "Hey, what did he say or what did she say?" And they would help me understand what I was learning. I had other friends that they loved me, and that's why I'm saying you have to put the ego to the side, because I had friends that love me, and I totally understand that they love me. But every time that I would say something, they would laugh first, and they would tell me after. They would like, "No, you say it like this," but they would laugh first. You know, they were laughing at me. I was like, "Dang it," you know. But I understood they love me, and so I trust them with that.
Of course.
So I think that to overcome something like that, I surround myself with people that love me and that were willing to help me and to help me grow. And the other one, like I said, you know, you raise above fear and ego so that you can push and you can learn through it.
That's crazy, man. You conquered a fear. You put you basically suffocated your pride and said, you know what? I have to like do this. If not, it's like life or death almost. You know, it's like if you want to put it that way, it's like either I give up, go back home, or I, you know, again, suck up my pride and just find a way to get through it and push through, and you did it, you know, and that's insane, bro. And man, I gotta say, dude, you have such a story that man, these kids have it easy nowadays, man. And the fact that you went through it all, you came here not knowing a lick of English, and you went through all the battles and all the struggles of learning a new language, but not just that, but learning a new religion, a new way of a new faith, something that's unknown to you. And look at you now, bro. You're a pastor, you're church planting, and
Crazy,
it's
crazy.
nuts, dude. It's really, really nuts to reminisce over the past and what you've done through, man. But that's crazy, dude. And so a little on your ministry, man. What are some things that you do to get the word out? What is it that, you know, how do you spread the news about your ministry, about your church plant, you know, in your city? Like, what are some ways that you do to tap into your city?
And you know what? Yeah, it's a new city for me. You know, I actually I heard a pastor say this one time, you know, God can give you like a supernatural love for a city if you don't know it. And that's what happened with me, you know. I think the area of Southgate, Lynnwood, Bell Gardens, Downey, all that area. Like, I fall in love with that area right there, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that I plan just for the city, for the city of Southgate, but I plan for that region right there.
Okay.
So jumping into the whole, how do I maybe promote or get the word out of our community? You know, Axel, it's important, and I'm gonna probably step in some toes.
No, that's
today,
fine. Go for it.
But yeah. I'm just gonna say what I do and what I believe is working for our community. Maybe right. This helps someone. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you agree with me. Maybe you don't. You know. So right. part of our the way we do it, you know, my desire to open this community is to really reach out to non-Christian, to non-believers. The beginning of the whole thing, my desire is in my wife and I had the conversation. It was, we're going to open a space for people that never been to church and they can feel comfortable with the language, with the music, with the message, with everything. And even right. though they might not come back, they can leave from that place with a good taste and everything makes sense to them.
Yes.
Right. So, when I decided to jump into this, I was like, look, I know social media is cool. I know worship nights are cool. I know that promoting everything and putting a video where we're raising our hands, so maybe we're singing a great song, you know, is amazing, you know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. But I think we're missing something, that maybe someone that has never been to church and might not connect with that, you know, and might not feel attracted to it. It may happen too, you know? If someone maybe feel connected through that. I'm not saying you don't. But the way we're working is that most of the people, and I noticed this in the old church that I was at, you know, it's a church called 7th Street Church in the city of Long Beach.
Yes.
Beautiful
yeah.
church. I love them, you know.
Yeah.
And most of the people that come to their services was through an invite. It was because a family member invited them, or because a friend invited them, or because a coworker invited them. So I think sometimes we miss the beauty of like connection with another human being, interaction
yeah.
with the other
yeah.
human being.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most powerful thing that we have as a community, that we're trying to create such a great experience on Sunday that the people that come through those doors can invite other people.
Wow.
You know yeah. what I mean? Like what I want to create is that I want them to trust me with their friends and with their family members. You know, like sometimes you go to places like, man, I will never trust my friends or my family members
yeah.
with these communities, you know, like yeah, it's horrible, yeah. you know? And, but my goal is to create that. Now that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is that I'm big on interaction with the community, right? So we did something called I Love My City.
What we saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so I Love My City. Pretty much what it is that we raise funds. We put some money together. So we went to the streets wearing some T-shirts, you know, representing Echoes. And what we did is we went and paid for people's gas. We went to pay for people's laundry.
Yes,
we went to
yeah.
the park. You know, we went to the park and we bought some candy for the community, some chicharrones, some raspados. And we
yeah.
gave them away, you know. Also we went and cleaned the streets, you know, and we are a small community. We're not a huge, you know,
right.
so we split as much as we could, you know. Also we went and we purchased gift cards and in some coffee shop in the city called Tierra Mia. And
oh,
we give them away. We give away free coffee for people. So people has been of coffee, you know that. You
oh,
yourself
man.
Is you're big
oh,
on coffee,
yeah.
right?
Dude, I missed it, bro. I should have been there, man.
I'm speaking your love language right there,
bro.
You know?
You killed it. You said Tierra Mia. I'm like, I gotta go, man.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to do, and speak people's language. So what we did is that we were like, hey, we're gonna rub the city. We're gonna jump into it, and we're gonna love some people. You know, we wanna tell people you matter to us. And before you come to our space, we want to come to your space.
Wow.
We want to walk into what you walk into every single day. Maybe the struggle of not having money to pay for the gas, maybe the struggle of
wow.
not having enough to pay for your laundry room. Some people
yeah.
understand that, you know.
Maybe
yeah. you take your kid to the park because you don't have enough money to take him to eat, so you just want the kid to walk around and enjoy the games in there, you know. So why not give him a raspado, you know? So
yeah, there you go.
You know, it's to be really aware of your community and interact with them and say, hey, yo, like, we love you. And you might not come. I remember, like, when we were trying to buy some stuff and people would ask, like, who are you guys? And And sometimes it's like, yeah, you know, we have to say we are church. They already have this image of church, you know, but we tell them, you know, we are church. And they were kind of like, oh, okay. And I'm like, no. But you can still get what I want to give you. No strings attached.
There
and
you
they
go.
Were like, okay, all right, that's fine. So, you know, like, we trying to erupt a community that have no trust in church sometimes, you know. They have no trust in other human beings, period. Not just in church, you know.
Exactly.
So we try to, like, love on people that way. And the other thing we do on Mother's Day, on the Saturday before the Sunday to celebrate the Mother's Day, we're going to go buy maybe like 10 or 12 dozens of flowers.
Wow.
And we're going to go to the streets. We're going to go honor moms. We're going to take a flyer and we're going to say, are you a mom? Yes. Okay. We want to honor you. Thank you so much. Everything for that you're done for your family, for your kids. Maybe they honor you. Maybe they don't, but we want to say you're valuable.
Wow. So
that's what we want to go. And I feel like, you know, Brian, it's going to take a minute, but you know what? If we build that type of culture, not just inside of our community with our leaders, but people see that, my desire, and I close with this thought, you know, my desire is that when people walk outside the building of Echoes, they say, I might not go to Echoes, but I know that in any given moment, I need something. I feel sad. I feel this way. I can go to that place and I can get help. And so that's my desire, the type of community. And I feel like those channels, I mean, social media is great, bro. Trust me. I'm all about it. You know, I'm all about YouTube. I'm all about podcasts. I'm all about that with those resources, because I know there's going to be people that are going to maybe going through that, you know, and maybe they're going to find something like, man, I want to go and check it out myself, you know. But I'm all about too, like, human interaction.
Wow. Yes. Yes. I think that's something that you're doing, bro, that a lot of people aren't doing or are afraid of doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. That you're actually going, you're infiltrating the city, bro. And you're like, you're doing what churches are not doing, man. I think that a lot of people should adapt to that and serve the community. You know, what's it going to take? A couple of hours out of your day? I mean, it's all it is, you know? And I think that that's powerful, bro. And I think that you're onto something really amazing, man. And people are going to start to know and hear more about Echoes, the fact that you're tapping into these cities, they're going to start remembering who you are. They're going to say, oh, yeah, that's that church that gave me a flower. That's that church that paid for my laundry, paid for my – and, man, that's amazing, bro. I'm looking through your Instagram feed, and I saw, you know, you guys at the laundromat, and I'm like, dude, that's some powerful, powerful stuff, man. And, dude, I commend you, bro, because that's something that I don't see most churches doing, you know. Dude, that's amazing, bro. And, you know, man, I want to keep you here and keep asking you questions, bro. I know you got to run, but right now, what would you tell somebody that has a vision, has a dream, and they're afraid of taking that chance, or maybe they haven't taken that next step, but what possessed you, or what gave you that drive to take that first step into, like, you know what, I'm going to start a church? Like, what drove you to take that first step?
Yeah. So I feel like there's two parts of the conversation. Oh, well, two parts of the question. You know, let me tackle the first one. What it motivated me, you know, like I said, never grew up in church, you know? So I feel what it moved me, it was not the title or some sort of, like, position, you know, because what happened to me is that when I felt that hope coming into my life and to my soul, that purpose, that love, that affirmation, bro, I wanted to share it with people. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I didn't know nothing about evangelists or a pastor or a teacher or how to be that. I just wanted to tell people about it. I just wanted to know people. I wanted people to know that there was hope, that there was love, that there was, that you don't have to be, or you don't have to do life alone.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So yeah.
What it motivated me is, like, I want to bring this to people's life, you know?
Yes.
I want people to know that this is real. So what it moved me was beyond just the fact that I wanted a position, you know, more than beyond that I wanted a church or I wanted my own space because I wanted to play my own songs, or, you know, to look cool because I look different, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, I just really wanted to share this hope with people and this love. So it moved me, you know, it moved me to start this community. Second of all, when it comes down to if you have that dream of, you have that longing to start something, you know. I want to give you some practical things. Look, I didn't just jump into it the moment I felt it, you know. That's right. A reality. You know, like you say, we had this conversation, Brian, like a couple years ago, like
yeah
you know, a while ago,
that, yeah,
you know. So through that process, I positioned myself in a place that I was being mentored by someone. See, okay. The problem with our generation is that we don't see the value of mentorship.
Yes.
Know? We just want to do everything on our own. So we don't tap into mentorship. Yeah, we see that it's good, but we don't tap into it. We don't search for it. We don't long for it. And that was me. I really longed for mentorship. I needed mentorship, bro. I was so messed up that I need someone to help me out with my own life, you know? In that process, I met my pastor, Pastor Joshua Chavez in Long Beach. So we started attending to his church. So I submit to his vision for about 4 to 5 years almost, you know?
Wow, my wife and yeah.
We were under him, everything that he was doing. And that doesn't mean I agree with everything. And that doesn't mean that I love everything. It just meant that I commit myself to be under him, to learn everything that he was telling me. And maybe what it took him 3, 4, 5 years to learn, I may learn it in 1, 2 months, you know?
Right. So
to me, it's like you position yourself in a place where you can be mentored so that you can be prepared for it. Because, Brian, honestly, bro, if I would have opened this church 5 years ago, the weight of the responsibility, it would crush me.
Wow.
If you're not ready, if your character is not developed for to open that dream, to develop that dream, that same dream can crush you into pieces, bro.
Yeah, true. You know? Yeah,
so
definitely.
So I think that what happened to me, I believe that God orchestrated this whole thing. So I submit myself for 4 years under our pastor so that I can learn the practical things of it, you know.
Wow.
He pushed me, he developed my character,
yes.
He shaped a lot of aspects of who I was. He made me fall in love with the local church. He opened the door for new relationships to a world that I didn't know. So many beautiful things, you know, Brian?
Wow.
So
yeah.
If you have a vision, if you have something that you want to give to the world, if you want to open a business, if you want to open whatever it is you want to do, you know,
I
said, you know, go and look for someone that is doing something similar to
yes.
what you want to do. You know,
yes.
Go and look for someone and submit yourself and tap into it and text them and bug them, dude. Like, this is the thing. When it comes down to mentorship, sometimes we're like, oh, well, my mentor doesn't call me. He doesn't text me. No. You search for him. You're the one who wants it.
Exactly.
You know? You're the one
exactly.
who wants for this. So you tap into it. So don't put the responsibility on them. It's your responsibility.
Exactly.
So I will bug Josh the heck out of him. You know, I would text him. I would tell him, hey, can I travel with you? Can I go with you? So I would say, just look
wow.
for someone that is doing the same thing you're doing and learn from them and just submit yourself. Even if you don't like him, even if you don't agree, you are responsible because you said, I commit myself to submit under this person for this period of time because I want to learn. Because at the end of the day, Brian, at the end of the day, when you become a pastor, when you become a leader, when you become maybe someone that owns something, you want the people under you to have the same respect, the same commitment that you had with someone else, right?
Exactly. Wow. I think that's key, bro. It's learning to adapt to somebody, learning from that person, and just not like replicating what they're doing, but putting it into your own style.
Yeah.
And putting it into your own practice, into your own world, right?
Yeah.
And that's powerful, man. And that's really fortunate, bro, that you found somebody. And I think this is going to inspire somebody that's listening to this right now that has that fear of going into this new world, if you will, and learning to find, or doing some research at least, into finding that person that they can mentor or be mentored from. So that's amazing, bro, man. I think this is great, man. Thank you so much for spending some time with me on this podcast, man. I think this is some powerful stuff, man. And just hearing your story and me personally watching your journey from when I first met you, bro, at the Assemblies of God District, now it's unbelievable, bro. And I gotta tell you, man, I am beyond proud of what you're doing with Echoes, with your family. And thank you so much for just spending time with me on the phone, dude. And to end the podcast, bro, what question? I want to do something called question of the day. Okay. Right. It could be any question at all, a question that you can ask pertaining to, you know, this this conversation we're having, or it can be, you know, anything at all, anything regarding anything that you want to ask the audience right now. And then they will respond to you through either, you know, through social media or through this Anchor podcast. But what question do you want to tell the audience, man?
Oh, man, I have several questions, but how bad do you want this? That's my question, you know, because at the end of the day, that's going to define if you're willing to go to the struggle, into the challenges to reach out to that goal, into that dream that you have. How bad do you want this?
Wow. All right, man. There it is. How bad do you want this, man? And if you're listening to this, you can reply back through, you know, either the social media feed or through here. Make sure you follow Echoes Church at Echoes.org on Instagram. Check them out. See what they're doing. You can also find, you know, Tony there and what he's doing there. Tony, again, bro, thank you so much for taking some time with me on this podcast. I do believe that this is going to inspire somebody out there that's going through the same thing that you went through. And for the audience that's listening, make sure you follow, you subscribe, and we'll catch you guys next week, man. Tony, thank you so much, brother.
Love you guys. Thank you so much, Brian.
No problem, brother. Have a good one, man.